Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you got it! It's time for episode 629 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top five songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint playoffs on the road to summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater. And with me, as always, is Brett Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up, Starred?
How's it going, man? We got
good.
Clear skies ahead for the next week. Yeah, so feeling pretty good about that. No more walking in the rain to Ralph's.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God. I still feel like I'm like, it's like after a traumatic experience, you're still not, like, you don't bounce back right away. I feel like that's what's going on with the rain. This is our first day in L.A. of seeing sunlight in, like, 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And so we're all, like... traumatized, like what was that movie, Room, where they're trapped in the plastic tubs?
Yeah, it's just,
you
like
know what
that.
I'm talking about, it's like that. It's trauma. But here comes our guest. You know him as Richie on Minx, on Stars. We're excited to have him here on the charts. Please welcome in Oscar Montoya.
Hey.
Hey.
What's right up, on, fellas? Oscar.
Good to see you.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Great to see you here. We're excited to have you.
Good to be here.
And are you dry for the first time in a fortnight?
You know, it's funny because I just came back from Portland. Oh, I spent the holidays in Portland, and y'all had it really bad, and it only rained one day while I was there.
Oh, my God.
So I completely missed the
rain. That's the best timed L.A. to Portland trip in the history of
trips. Yeah, maybe.
And it was intense. Yeah. I saw videos, and it was really crazy.
It really was.
Meanwhile, I was like literally soaking up the sun over there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was flood waters here. Stuff was floating away. The beauty of it is when you wake up in the morning to take a walk, everything laying in the street is clean. You know, there's just not as much dirty garbage laying around.
Yeah, you can pick up whatever you want.
Yeah, cans.
Yeah, it's like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. You find a lot of great stuff after the rain. But it's pretty crazy. Everybody always calls from around the country to see if you're doing okay. And this time was like, yeah, maybe like this call was warranted actually this time for the first time.
I just feel bad. Are all of your roofs okay? Your ceilings? Because I know a lot of people who got, you know, sprung a leak, and it's always the worst time to spring a leak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. I'm dry. I should be thankful. I mean, there, you know, for when you see like, you know, every neighborhood has its homeless people. There's this guy that always comes by in a leather jacket. And I'm just like, oh, what's leather jacket guy? I mean, it's got to be tough. So, yeah, I'm just thankful to be indoors.
Can you imagine the rain hitting the leather jacket? It's ruined.
It's ruined.
Yeah, that leather jacket's long gone.
Yeah. What do you tell yourself? Bad stuff. Well, we're glad you're back. We're glad you're safe and dry. And we're going to be counting down some stuff today. And first off, I'm gonna wrap the history of recorded music right here real quick as we get into the music chart. New to play LPs. 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes. All right. We caught you up there on music. And what's our chart this week?
Yeah, we're going to go back to the old Shazam chart.
Oh, okay.
It looks like it's gotten mixed up a little bit since we last looked.
Right on. Oscar, do you use Shazam?
I don't. Should I? I use, typically I'm a Siri person. I just go like, hey Siri, what the fuck is this?
Oh, there you go.
Straight to Siri.
She Are they attached everything. To Shazam? Is it Siri via Shazam?
Maybe Siri asks you think Shazam. I don't
Siri
know.
Takes your question to Shazam.
Yeah.
She's quickly opening Shazam.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like people sell stuff on eBay that's from Amazon. So it's just like when you buy it on eBay, they're just buying it on Amazon. It's like they're cutting in as the middleman.
Yeah, it's funny. I haven't gotten used to that. I have Shazam on my front, you know, page on my phone. And to me, it's just like I just click it real quick.
Oh, it's just easy.
I haven't gotten used to just talking to Siri about it.
That's smart, though. I guess because Shazam was first, so Siri just must have just like taken all the tricks and just asked me, because I also can tell you what, you know, the weather is or what time it is.
Right. All right. So these are the most Shazam tracks in the United States this week. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Fuerza Regida with Bebe Dame. I'm that all wrong. I'm sorry.
Which one?
Grupo Frontera?
These guys actually played at Coachella. These are the ones I really liked. It had like 17 guys up on stage.
Oh, where they were taking shots out of the cowboy hat?
Yeah. I think this is them. This that song wasn't as exciting as the ones they were playing at Coachella, but they got another chart.
It's sort of like their ballad, right? It feels like a love song, you know what I mean? So they're just easing you into it. You know?
Yeah. Like when, you know, every rose has its thorn or something.
That's right.
They give you the ballad. Hey, sir, what chart was this again?
This is Shazam.
Gotcha.
Yep. All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Steven Sanchez with Until I Found You. I would never fall unless it's you I fall into. I was lost within the darkness, but then I found her. I found you. Wow.
Who knew that Shazam was around in the 1950s? These feel like really old. Is that one from a TV show or something?
I really have a feeling it is.
Like a CW show. It's giving me CW. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't Google it in time. Oh, okay. I'm willing to bet it's from a TV show. That just sounds like end credits.
Right. There, you know? On Netflix or
It's so funny to me. It's that like the legacy of the Lana Del Rey. Do you know what I mean? Like she brought this sort of like dreamy 60s aesthetic. Yes. And it's interesting to me that like that's still happening to this day because Lana seems so
of another era.
Yeah. Or even just like so 2018 to me.
Yeah, that era. I mean? Yeah. I'm with you too. Like that music doesn't do much for me. I mean, I feel like people are kind of sad and disaffected now. I don't know that pulls them out of it.
But it's not escape music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know the group Lord Huron? They had a song that sounded exactly like that a couple years ago, and I liked their version of it, but I was actually pretty struck by how identical this was.
Wow, shots
including
fired.
The duet style, like the two voices together. I mean, it was the same thing.
Who's the artist that's credited on that track? Steven
Sanchez.
Sondheim.
And M. Behold.
M. Behold. Okay, the letter M or E-M?
E-M.
Sure, for Emily, maybe. Before. Okay, interesting. Interesting. Wow, it's giving me like Twin Peaks, but like digestible Twin Peaks. You know?
Right. Yeah. Twin Peaks where nothing bad or surreal happens.
Friendly Peaks. Interesting. We're getting a lot of like old school throwback. Let's see if this next one sounds like it's from 2023.
All right, coming in at number three. This is Miley Cyrus with Flowers. I can buy myself flowers. Write my name in the sand. Talk to myself for hours. See things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing. And I can hold my own head. Yeah, I can love me better. Whoa.
What?
Went back to Steven Sanchez interrupted.
Okay, Brett's a fan.
I don't know. I like Miley Cyrus a lot, but I'm not sure about that one.
Mm, you like her as a person, as a celebrity?
Oh, I don't know her personally. I can't speak to behind closed doors Cyrus.
She's put out more good songs than I ever thought she would. True. She's definitely above that.
She's more like authentically cool on stage, or like her persona is more like gritty or rocking than I gave credit to at first.
Yeah.
And she's been in some great films, and she's a double threat.
Wait, what she's films was she in that you liked? Yeah.
Oh, Freaky Friday remake. There's one where she played like
great films.
You guys know about Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis. You don't know about her Disney catalog? She did Freaky Friday. She did the Switching one.
That's not exactly the Criterion collection.
I know, but listen, I like Party in the USA.
I did too.
I like The Climb.
The Climb's a great song.
Yeah, The Climb's good. Mm-hmm. You got some. You got some deep musical knowledge, Oscar.
I do.
You know some stuff.
I love music. I was a dancer before I did comedy, so
okay.
I just grew up around music and like especially contemporary dance. So like the slower stuff is what I typically dance to. But I love music.
What do you mean, like, what kind of dance? What kind of dancing do you do to slow music?
Contemporary.
Like you're talking about
just like whatever you see on
like couples dancing, or like a performative.
No, I wish. No, that's like more like ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
Contemporary is sort of just like that sort of abstract movement, you know? It's all about the shapes that you make that depending on what the music gives you, you know?
Okay.
A lot of the bell technique, you know, a lot of swoops, a lot of turns, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of frou-frou dancing. It's frou-frou modern dancing, truly, to be honest with you.
And what music, what song that we know would you dance to this to?
Oh my gosh. Well, I would dance
Sade.
To Alt-J. Breeze Blocks was like a staple around the time I was doing. Did you say Sade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I feel like that's, maybe, a little bit of Sade, But like Alt R&B, I would dance to a lot.
You can leave your hat on. Would you do that one?
Yes. Yeah, I'm about to now. If you can record a version of that for me, I will do a contemporary dance piece to it.
All right, let me warm up. Let's do one more entry and then I'll get that together.
All right. Coming in number 2.
Number 2.
This is Depeche Mode with Never Let Me Down Again.
Whoa. Depeche Mode.
A remix. Depeche Mode and Digitalism.
What song did they remix? It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Never Let Me Down Again.
My gosh.
No.
I'm not a huge Depeche Mode fan, although I give them props for having shitloads of hits, more than you remember, but that is not an improvement.
No, not at all.
No, they always bummed me out. And then this is like a totally different feeling. This
depressed
is
just, loads.
Yeah.
That's what I've been calling them since their first couple hits.
I never quite understood, like, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, music you like or resonate with somehow is like a voice that's in your head, you know, like that's why you like it, because it speaks to
saying
something you feel.
You know, yeah.
And I just never quite understand like what that guy's voice is supposed to be like inside my own head.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, like it's just
it almost
strange
like a Gregorian chant, Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's when you were lived in the Middle Ages.
Right.
Yeah, good in the Middle Ages.
Well, that's true. Yeah. How did they relate to that? That Gregorian chant shit. How would that make you feel?
Dead. Dead inside. No, yeah, there's some kind of pain they're getting at with their music. There's always some kind of tension in there. But yeah, I don't always listen long enough to find out what it's about.
It's the weird remixes that I'm like not feeling at all. Like, it's too, like, who's Shazamming that song? It's, you're not Shazamming it for the lyrics.
Yeah. I think we always get it. We get one entry in the Shazam chart that is probably explained by people going, what the fuck is this? Like,
yes.
Shazamming it from an angry standpoint or from a confused standpoint.
Yes. Like, they heard there was going to be a Depeche Mode song coming up on Jack FM, and then all of a sudden that came out. Wait, what? This isn't...
Yeah, Siri, turn this off.
Siri, explain this.
Explain yourself.
Siri, get Shazam on the phone. All right, fun stuff.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Metro Boomin and The Weeknd with Creepin'. This is an actual hit song. Oh, oh baby, I don't wanna know. You could probably dance to this, right?
Yeah. This is exactly the kind of music.
Fuji slowed
That's
down.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Chopped and fooged.
Yeah, it's the same music as that Fuji song.
I know. Yeah. Like, I don't know where that one gets Shazam. Like, a girl's giving a table a lap dance at the Rhino, and then the phone hits the guy's leg. You know, gets Shazam.
Wait, I want to know what a table dance is.
Oh, table dance was the Texas term for it. They didn't call it a lap dance.
Oh,
they called
really?
It a table dance. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard a song
going on
like
here.
That.
Girl dancing at your table. I think it was to cover for what was really going on. Yeah, that one. Yeah, it sounded like a real track. It sounded like a modern track. So,
well, I just said. I mean, I know it's a hit because on previous weeks on this show, that's turned up on like the Billboard charts,
and the
main charts. Quite, so that's like an actual popular song.
Yeah,
and it sounds like curious. The Weeknd. It's not The Weeknd ain't trying to reinvent anything. He's just like, let me stick to what I know, and it's slow, dreary
and it's
little
horny, bad, horny Michael Jackson.
It's horny, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Antisocial, falsetto.
Exactly, sad boy R&B. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, an exciting chart. Looks like 2023 will be giving us plenty to listen to, and we'll be right back with the movie chart.
Greetings, Chartists. I'm here to tell you about Factor. They're sponsoring today's episode, and I am a big fan of Factor. I've been subscribing myself to their meal service, and I love it. So I'm not just a podcaster. I'm a client. So eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're not lying right there. Every single meal is 2 minutes flat in the microwave. I wouldn't even mind cooking for 3 minutes. I mean, I have a spare minute, but no, 2 minutes, you're good. It's hot. It's delicious. It's fresh tasting. I don't know how they do it. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I think I'm on the Protein Plus. I love it. And, it feels like no two meals are alike. There's a lot of options there. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I actually haven't taken advantage of that yet. I'm excited to. That sounds great. I have had some of their drinks. They got some like smoothies and like cold brew lattes. They're delicious and they're just perfect on the go, super quick. I often forget to eat. I got all these podcasts I'm making, recording, editing. Oops, I'm all of a sudden starving. I have no time to eat. And Factor has been a godsend for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. And if you're looking for something even more gourmet, try these premium ingredients they have, like filet mignon shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Wow, this is giving me all sorts of ideas to upgrade my next delivery. So it's no fuss, no mess meals. Totally eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave and it's so good. And the textures are all right. It's not like microwave dinners of old that are like encrusted onto the plastic. No, this feels like somebody made this dinner from scratch for you and just put a little plastic over it. It's fully ready to heat up and serve. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. I had to take a couple weeks off at one point. It was super easy to go to the website, just skip a week here and there. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. You say it's your Earth Day. Well, happy Earth Day to you. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. That's pretty cool. So head to factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 and use code WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Wow, that's code WhoCharted50 at factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guest, Oscar Montoya and
Brett Morris.
And this is The Movie Chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
These are the movies. There's good ones coming out. Horror movies. Animated movies with high scores. It's an exciting time.
All right, let's get into it. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Plane. I can't believe this is actually on the charts.
No way.
Hashtag plane movie. It's an emergency. Survive
together. Okay, I mean, I feel bad even spoiling the name of this movie because the way I learned about this was classic, where somebody sent me just the trailer and they just said, you got to watch this. Promise me you just watch the entire thing to the end. You will not believe the name reveal. To actually do that and watch this whole piece of shit trailer where it seems like it's just like almost like a joke of a movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just war scenes and they're so intense. And then to just call it Plane.
Right, Plane.
Wait, really, it's a war movie?
It's a big laugh. I think so.
Oh, yeah. Man, I thought it was a passenger plane.
White knuckle action movie Plane. pilot Brody Torrance saves his passengers from a lightning strike by making a risky landing on a war-torn island. There's the war.
Ah, interesting. Seems like with plane movies, they did it with snakes on a plane. Like, we can't think of a title. Fuck it. It's a plane movie. Plane. And now that's kind of like a standard thing. Like, you don't have to come up with a title if you write a plane movie.
There's an animated movie called Planes.
Yeah.
Really?
It like just cars. Feels too confusing. Yeah, in the universe of cars, there's planes.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I wouldn't have done that.
Big miss, I think.
Big miss.
But it might do well. I don't know.
I think the whole reason this is even on the charts is because people laughed at the name.
It helps. I mean, I think that name, you know, a stupid name like Sharknado with that kind of movie, it helps.
Right. Because I really think that that little game that I played went around. Like, I think people were sending people the tweet about it or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, just like, get a load of this.
Right.
It gets Gerard affected. Butler's in it.
Ah, is he the pilot?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. You know, he's in so many like forgettable of these kind of movies.
Yes. The right? What's the where he, the White House movie or something where he's
White House Down or one of those ones,
something
right?
Like that. Yes, because there was another one like Olympus Has Fallen that's essentially the same movie.
Yeah,
but you're totally right. It's completely forgettable, and you know you're gonna add one more to the list, Mr. Butler.
Yeah, he's got a bunch. He always plays like a Gladiator, but it's not the movie Gladiator. You know,
right? yeah,
Roman fighter.
It's not Sully.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is A Man Called Otto.
Walk away again.
Ignore him, Prince. He has no idea who's doing that.
Well, it was one of you. Get out of here. You cannot use this road without a permit.
Have a nice day, sir.
You know, the other guys don't do this. The guys with the white trucks. How come it's always you brown guys? And I don't mean that racially.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh, boy. If that's your trailer joke, we're in trouble.
Yeah, right? That was shocking to me. that joke
that's
was
Tom funny. Hanks, obviously.
That was Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What the hell?
Yeah, he's like a curmudgeon.
He's coming for Clint Eastwood's gig.
I was going to say, this is a lot like, what's that called?
Yeah,
what's
grumpy old racist. Yeah.
Gran Torino.
Yeah, I mean, like every Clint Eastwood movie after Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Wow. We didn't get that far in the trailer last week. So that was...
I've heard it a bunch because they play it on like football games and stuff. And it's just that joke.
Is that the demographic for this movie? Football fans?
I guess like old people who watch CBS, like their morning, you know, not the Fox ones, not Terry Bradshaw, like just the three... There's like four old guys.
Oh, yeah. Those like off-brand sports panels are so funny.
Yeah. Like there's Boomer Esiason in there. He still hasn't converted still to wearing sneakers with his suit. Like even all the other old guys like Phil Simpson stuff, they got the sneakers on.
Like that's the trend. Like you better get on board.
Yeah, like sneakers he's the only guy left. There's no other guy that's on TV that still wears shoes with the suit.
That's really funny. My dad would be stoked about that.
We used
to laugh at my dad like in the like early 90s because he was the type that was just like the suit wasn't fitting him right and then he didn't want to wear the uncomfortable shoes and all that. Right. He started wearing black Michael Air Jordans, which honestly, like if you saw those Jordans now... You like, oh, those are like the prized Jordans. Like those are the year. He just wore them to be like black sneakers that were
to be comfortable.
And we always laugh because like in his mind, he just thought that would fool people into thinking that those were like black dress shoes.
He didn't know that people are noticing them because they're Jordans.
Or just because like any sneaker with a suit.
I'll be down low key with these Jordans.
Yeah.
Yeah, but an old guy doesn't know. He just thinks they're sneakers.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Joel started that, I think, way back in the day.
Wow.
Phil Collins, Billy Joel, those are the first guys to appear on stage in a suit with sneakers, as far as I know.
That's some deep
David
history.
Byrne? I'm sure he did that some
David
Byrne,
but they were actually like before.
David Byrne would be barefoot, I think.
Oh, that's more.
He would have some like custom-made shoe from Soho or something. Let's argue about David Byrne's footwear. No, but yeah, they brought that along. And it's exciting to hear your dad was in on that trend.
Well, yeah, it was way before it was a trend. It was a kind of like a laughing stock at the time. And then now he's circled back.
You know what, Brent? Most innovators are.
Yeah, exactly.
He's ahead of his time. What's he doing now? Yeah. I'm going to get on it.
Oh, man. It's shorts all year round. I know that, you know, he's got his New Balance on, the crinkled up socks, you know, an old shirt, like with probably a hot dog on it.
Right on. All right, send me some picks. Start pulling some pieces out of my collection.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Megan.
Yeah.
Do you want to see?
Yes.
Ever since I was little, I dreamed of this perfect toy that would protect a kid from ever feeling lonely or sad. This is Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Who would?
I'm Katie. It's nice to meet you, Katie. Okay.
Megan, your goal.
It's so funny that you're supposed to buy in to the idea that the doll isn't scary immediately.
Right, right.
The first scene, you're supposed to just be like, oh, this is a nice, cute, inviting doll.
Yeah, it's not a weird replacement doll or, you know, it's not like a
cyborg horrifying murderer. From the get.
I love also, too, that the woman dreamed, ever since she was a kid, she dreamed of a toy that would protect her.
Yeah. You know,
it's like... Wouldn't you want parents to do that for you?
She dreamed of a toy that could only exist in 2023 with AI technology.
Exactly. It's like on Shark Tank when they try to bullshit their backstory. Right. I always wanted a nut and oats bar that tasted like dirt. So I thought, how could I make that?
My entire life I was raised that food tastes good. And I've always dreamed for food to taste not good. Have y'all seen Megan, by the way?
I haven't seen it yet.
Heard it's fantastic.
It's great. It's great.
You liked it?
Oh, man. It's so
I heard
fun.
It was way darker than it is campy. Like people almost
lies,
want it to be
campy. Liars. It's campy. It's straight up funny. It's hysterical.
Okay, cool.
There's some moments that you're like, oh, shit. But... You should go to the movies, people. It's just a fun. It's one of those movies that, like, the theatrical experience of laughing at the same thing. It's like watching Cats. You know what I mean? It's just like the audacity that these people had of making this movie. It's great. I love it.
Like a cult film almost.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's cool. Hey, shout out to Brian from AMC. He sent over, I got a year free of movies coming.
Hey,
you guys want to go see any movies? Meet up.
Brian's back.
Brian. Shout out to AMC who's fought their way through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. If you had anything to do with Wall Street bets or anything, you know you were watching that AMC stock. And congratulations on them for weathering the storm and keeping places open.
That was the only one that kind of made sense to me out of all those Wall Street bets shenanigans.
Yeah.
It was like AMC does seem like it'll come back, you know, post-pandemic.
I heard that Tom...
about the Nicole Kidman ad that changed the world forever.
Oh, changed the game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how's that doing at the box office? It's got to be number one.
I think so. She's doing
number one pre-rolls.
She got hired to do another one of these, but I'm thinking like, what is she going to do to top?
You can't
this
top
ad?
That.
Yeah,
yeah. You can't put lightning.
There's no
back.
Way.
Yeah,
it's gonna
yeah,
be.
You can't do that.
They love sequels, man. They even got to do a sequel to Nicole Kidman's.
You're right.
It's insane.
I'm looking forward, though, to hearing how, you know, forced the sequel to Heartbreak Feels Good in a place like this, like that line. You know she's going to look straight at the camera and that's just been overwritten, you know, 1,000 times. It's not going to hit as hard.
Right. Yeah, it's too self, you know.
Yeah.
Aware.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Cats have nine lives. Watch. Watch. Watch.
Puss, I think you set the oven too high.
Now I am on my last life.
Oh, no.
Only shooting star.
Legend tells of a wishing star of a single wish waiting to be granted.
Kitty soft paws, I need your help.
Is the great posing boots asking?
This cat is, he's getting old, but he's back out there. This is like the Wild Hogs of animated cats.
The Wild Hogs.
He's old.
I could just see them just ripping off the script of Wild Hogs and just replacing the movie with Puss in Boots specifics.
Yeah, oh, kids won't know. Kids won't know.
It's sort of like, what was that movie that was Blazing Saddles for kids? Do you know what I'm talking about? Paws of
Destiny or...
That sounds familiar. Like 2 years ago or something?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
We Pause of Fury.
Pause of there Fury, The go. Legend of Hank.
The Legend of Hank. Oh
it is God. Literally Blazing Saddles for kids.
Interesting.
With a lot of racist jokes.
Yeah.
Except instead of races, it's animals.
Oh, right on. Yeah, they get away with that. Yeah. You can make fun of another species without a problem.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Avatar, The Way of Water.
Oh, yeah.
Aquatar, as we call it.
Aquatar, The Spray of Water.
Have you checked this one out?
I haven't seen it.
Now that I got my AMC card, I will go see it. But I might see it in two installments. I feel like this should have been, two movies, break it up, too long.
Is it long? So,
yeah, I think it's like 245 or something.
I think it's like 345.
Why?
I don't.
What?
I gotta look it up.
I know.
Yeah, way too long.
You try to talk James. Try to talk James Cameron out of not using some of his footage. You know, it's like tough deal.
It's so funny. I saw that little like blurb from James Cameron. Oh yeah, it's 3 hours and 12 minutes.
My gosh.
Why?
Nuts.
Why are we doing this?
Too long when you cut it in half almost.
Right.
Someone was asking him if he has any qualms about spending all of his energy on Avatar films and like not other stories or other things he's been known for. And he said that the world of Avatar, he can tell everything, every story he wants within that world, which really surprised me. Like,
interesting.
I don't know how much he plans to do with it, but that's so odd to me.
Yeah, how are you going to do the Wild West on that? All of a sudden they have cowboy hats and shit.
How are you going to do the Titanic again? But
yeah, and if it takes you 10 years to make one movie, you're not telling a whole bunch of stories. You're telling, you know?
Right.
That's true. It's so interesting to me because to me, Avatar seems, and I don't want to offend any Avatar freaks out there, but to me, Avatar seems like such a joke.
Yeah.
And yet it is the number one movie.
Yeah. I think it's because it's just so stunning visually that it's luring people into the theater because it's like, oh, I can't get this at home. Like, this is going to be cooler than what I can already see.
So no one's going in for the story of wherever the Pandora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Unobtainium.
I self-admittedly like this more than most people do, just like the story of Avatar, but I never was like, oh, I can't wait to get to Pandora and like see Pandora. Yeah. I like the idea of it.
Yeah, they do feel like a little bit like they are tech demonstrations that people just want to go see.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is valid. Like, I kind of miss that. Like, that used to be a big part of movie going, I feel like. We're just like, T2, you got to see the special effects. True. Like, right.
For me, it was Final Fantasy, The Spirit Within.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh my gosh, none of them are real people. It's all CGI.
Yeah.
The movie was terrible, though.
Wasn't there like 7 of those movies?
I don't know, actually.
Which one was fine, you know?
Well, there's a billion of the games.
I know that it bombed terribly, so I can't possibly imagine them making more than one Final Fantasy movie.
Yeah. Hey, you know, speaking of which, like on Netflix, they said a lot of series are bombing on there because of a self-fulfilling cancellation thing. Did you guys see that? Okay.
No, what's going on?
I didn't read too deep about it, but basically they're saying is that Netflix has canceled so many shows that have cliffhangers that the audience will hold off on watching the first season of a series because they think, oh, it might get canceled. They might not make the second season.
Yeah.
So then they hold off on watching it and it's low rated and then they cancel it. So it's like a self-fulfilling cancelization loop.
That makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're just so cancel-happy over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't want to get invested.
You can't blame audiences.
Yeah. And then if you think
of, like, the psychology of that is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's the solution?
That's like a broken system, you know? That's all it is. Yeah. So they're going to have to think of something or just guarantee 2 seasons or not do cliffhangers or I don't know. It seems like ever since Lost, there has been like trepidation, like, oh, if I get really invested, is it going to be worth it? Right. And then this makes the barrier even higher. Like, wow, there's not even going to be a second season.
It's true. Stuff. I guess you got to get back into just like anthology stuff or like self-contained episodes.
Yeah. Or what? Rewatch The Wire or something. You
know? No, The Wire becomes the number one show of all time.
Yeah. Kate Bush.
I've been watching Walking Dead for the first time ever. Just really? Cause, like, I'm by myself, holed up in these weird motel rooms, and it's like I get like an hour to spare, and I'm just like I never watched that. I never watched a single episode, and it's all on Netflix. Like, why not? I'll just zombie things don't seem like, you know. I was kind of like over it before I started it, but then now I'm kind of into it. I like it. So
what season are you watching?
I'm in
right
four
now.
Already.
Damn. Ah.
But you know what? It's so much better. I'm so glad I'm doing it this way. Rather than week to week, like original airing.
Yeah.
Binging makes perfect sense in this way. Cause like, I don't think each episode is strong enough to be like,
good point. It's not like Breaking
Bad. If I had
bad,
just
wow.
seen that one episode, I would have been like, oh, not that much happened. But just right. taking a whole season in like one swoop, it's great.
Makes I it, think that lead man. Guy. It's kind of like, I know who that voice is in your head. You were talking about Depeche Mode. You don't know who that voice is?
That's the lead guy?
That Rick? No, that lead guy. I know that you can relate to that voice in his head.
Oh, that's funny.
That's your voice.
Yeah. As he's getting like psychosis. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's closed in. Everybody's a zombie around him.
Yeah. It's just like podcasting.
Hey, but at least people are going to the theaters. We're excited about that, and we'll be right back with the Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. The third chart is the Hot Picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The Hot Picks. The Hot Picks. These are the hot picks. Let's see if we did better than Shazam. It's likely. I sure hope we did. I hope so.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Oscar's first pick of two. This is New Jeans with Ditto. I did just say it back, I'll say it, did I? At gym in the world, I'll say it, did I?
That's one of those songs. It's super quiet, but it like you could see people dancing real hard.
Hell yeah, yeah! It's got bounce to it, which is really cool.
Yeah, when I was searching for it in YouTube, like a lot of the suggestions were dance related. Like, are a lot of people choreographing their own dances to this?
Oh yeah, like on TikTok? I mean, like the thing about New Jeans, right? I'm obsessed. K-pop is like what the stories behind K-pop and how K-pop bands are made or is so fascinating to me because it's like all machine, like it's like a machine essentially.
Right. Yeah.
And New Jeans is interesting because they're sort of like the newest, biggest act right now. And they're all super young, but their aesthetic is Y2K.
Yeah.
So their sound is really like Y2K, like drum and bass, 2000. Yeah, exactly.
That's how a lot of K-pop sounds to me. It's like around
they
that
don't
time.
Usually, they don't usually a lot of time have that kind of beat to it. You know, right. Like it's more poppy.
So typically the cool thing about this song is that a lot of K-pop acts right now is like very bombastic and loud. There's a lot of like Skrillex inspired sort of like heavy beat drops and stuff.
Yeah.
But with New Jeans, it's like subtler and everything feels like American, like 2000s R&B. like okay. early Ariana Grande. Right,
I could hear that.
It's interesting. They're all like the oldest member of that group is like 18 years old.
And how many of them are there?
There's 5 of them.
Oh, that's not too many. I mean, usually there's no. like 7 or something.
Yeah, like my favorite K-pop group is Twice, and there's 9 of them.
Damn.
Yeah,
I like Blackpink because there's only 4 of them. I see. I could get 2 Blackpinks out of that.
Yeah, you could.
But now BTS, they had 7. Now they got mm-hmm. 6.
Oh, they lost.
There's one group with I think 13 members. 17 has 13, God. Which is very confusing.
I just think about all those paychecks. Like you got to pay all those members.
I know.
But
also do that? as like the corporate entity, you can't have any one performer hold you up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if like, you know, when Jimmy Fallon became a big star, they just give him all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
They can go, I got 16 other guys right here who are just as eager as you are, just as talented.
I got Jimmy from Monster X coming over on. It's like,
y'all sound like P. Diddy in Making the Band.
Yeah. Right.
You know? We should go to Seoul and take over. We'll show you how to do it. Yeah.
Oh my God, I would love to see y'all make a K-pop group.
I wouldn't even know how to go about it. Like you'd have to buy a hotel first just to house everybody.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Just feeding everybody would be like a major thing every day.
It seems pretty brutal to me. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, stories come out in a few years.
Oh yeah.
You know, where it's just like, the grind, you know, the way they grind.
Stories have already come out. The thing is, like the K-pop culture is so ingrained in Korean culture. Like there's like, kids go to idol school after school to train to be members of potentially a K-pop group.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's just part of their culture. It's wild. There's nothing like that in the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you would think, you know, they have so many. Like, we produce football players. No other country does. Yeah. Like
that's true.
NFL. And then they got every kid's thinking about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm in the motel right now, and on Sunday night, my next door neighbors were singing karaoke in their room. So I think it's spreading. I think people are. I think that culture is coming in.
You got your Spanktravision on the TV. You forgot to turn that off.
I really couldn't believe that.
That might be too old a reference. Do you know about Spanktravision?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Okay.
What?
I don't know it.
Oh, okay. Spanktravision was like the porn at hotel rooms.
Of course. I thought you said, okay. Yeah, you said Spanktravision. I took that literally.
Right on.
Spectrovision, yeah. No, I just couldn't believe that they were doing that on a Sunday night, like 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Not on the Lord's Day.
In a motel. Yeah,
seriously.
In a motel. Yeah.
No good. They're drunk from watching the playoffs.
All right, coming in at number 4.
Number 4.
This is my first pick. This is the band Slift, and the song is called Unseen. It's a heavy one.
I love this part.
Yeah. They're a good band.
That reminds me of like Jesus and Mary Chain or something. It's like it's a lot going on production-wise.
Yeah, it's very drenched. Like there's just behind walls of reverb, but it creates a cool sound.
Tell me about this band. What's their deal?
They're on Sub Pop. I don't really know much about their background other than my friend tipped me off to them a few years ago, and it was like a good kind of psychedelic, heavy stoner rock kind of thing. Let me look up where they're from.
Oh, it says here they grew up in a reverb pedal factory.
You can't take the band out of the reverb pedal factory.
No.
Yeah.
In their DNA.
Yeah. They're from France.
Oh, wow.
They're French. Yeah,
they're a French rock band.
All right, international.
And they got brothers in the band, too.
Oh, shit. French brothers.
French brothers, like the French Oasis.
I love Phoenix, France. They need to give us another band, so maybe it's them. Maybe it's Slift.
What was the last great band to come out of France?
I think it's Phoenix. I really love Phoenix. I love everything they do. But before them, I mean, it's probably, is Justice? Or no,
Gojira? I think Gojira is French, right?
You know, the DJs with the space on.
Yeah, owners. Justice is French. Yeah, they're French, I believe.
But I mean, that's, but who am I thinking of?
They're Daft huge. Punk?
Yeah, Daft Punk.
They're Daft French?
Punk. Or maybe not. Maybe Justice is.
There's also Air.
Oh, Air is great, yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
France.
Yves, or what's his name? What's that guy? Serge Gainsbourg.
Oh, right.
He's big.
Yeah. Gerard Depardieu.
Great.
Love his music.
His, yeah, his psychedelic stuff. okay, coming in at where we are, number three.
Number three.
This is Oscar's second pick. This is Caroline Polachek with Sunset.
Kind of medicine, 'cause every spiral brings me back into your arms again. So no regrets, 'cause you're my sunset, fiery red, forever fearless, and in your arms a warm horizon. Don't look back, let's ride away, let's ride away.
I like that.
That's cool.
Great licks.
The music sounds a little like a like video game music, which I like.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
Like it sounds like you'd be on a desert level or something.
Hey, yeah, you're right. To me, I love this song because it's, to me, giving Eurovision vibes, Eurovision song contest, which is my obsession. I've watched, during the pandemic, my pandemic hobby was watching every single Eurovision song contest since its inception in 1956, all the way to 2023.
Wow. Wait, how much, like, how long does it take to watch 1 year?
I mean, it depends. Now it's a four-hour event. But it started with, it was like an hour and a half. There were like 15 songs.
That's a podcast. You should do that as a podcast.
I've been thinking. Thank you. Really? Okay, great.
That's
okay.
A great idea.
I've been thinking about it for the longest time. And I'm like, Americans don't really know about Eurovision. And I'm telling you, it is
truly incredible. And there's great stories each year, like the personal. And what's your favorite year?
Ooh, that's a good one. 2019 was a fantastic year. The best year, I'm going to say, is 1991, because it was the most chaotic Eurovision to ever happen. It was the second time there was a tie, and the way that they did it was so insane, how they broke the tie. It was so wild, because instead
penalty
of
kicks?
I'm sorry?
Penalty kicks?
No, but like in 1968, there was a four-way tie, which was insane, and they just gave them all the win. But in 1991, there was a two-way tie between France and Sweden, and they were like, well, we can't have another tie. We can't give it to the both of them. So they did this weird thing of like whoever got the most 12 point votes wins, and they both had the same amount, and they were like, okay, whoever got the most 10 point wins, and Sweden beat out France on that. And so Sweden won.
That's crazy. Wow. So the voting is like strict.
It's very strict,
like,
very strict.
Yeah,
like World Cup. Yeah, they take it real serious. I really think that would be fascinating, because like it is a mystery to most Americans. Just they've probably you know, hasn't been on their radar for their whole lives.
Right.
But it is emerging now. Didn't they try to do a TV show here where
it was like the states versus each other contest? Yeah, yeah, hosted by Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson, and it didn't do well. No one cared.
So, what year did you say it started? 56?
1956. Yeah.
Wow.
What kind of music were they doing?
Oh, like, you know what? I know this answer.
Okay.
Okay. Tell me if I'm right, Oscar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. ABBA was kind of innovative in the song contest because they have these things called schlagers or something, schlagens, which is literally translated means hit song. And okay. they were those kind of beer drinking. They sound like German, Swedish ski Alp songs. And then ABBA was the one to kind of turn it into a modern pop thing, right?
Right, right. I mean, ABBA won 1974 with Waterloo, and it elevated, it changed the music industry entirely. Because before ABBA, Eurovision Song Contest was really about the songwriting and not about the song. And then suddenly ABBA shows up and not only makes it about the artists, but the presentation of the song as well. And it changed the, and it became like a
That's huge fascinating.
Hit. Yeah.
But back in the 50s, it was like these like cheery little ballads, you know? The first one was like a sweet little 50s ballad. It's very reminiscent of like When You Wish Upon a Star by the Pinocchio song.
Right,
you know?
right.
Okay. Like theatrically.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
I'm obsessed. But anyway, this song, I heard it and I was like, this feels like an Eastern European entry in the 2004 Eurovision Song Contest. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's so intricate. It's like a really cool song. And music doesn't sound like this nowadays. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. Anyway, and I love it.
That's cool. I'm telling you, your enthusiasm about that would really translate.
Ooh,
I mean, I'm even interested now, like, did the record companies try to place bands in that contest because they know it'll be so much bigger? Like, how organic is it? Like,
I mean, it's
really interesting.
Celine Dion came from the Eurovision Song Contest.
Really?
And even that was a big deal because she won the 1988 Song Contest. Wow. But she's French-Canadian. She's from Canada. But Switzerland hired her to sing, and people were pissed because they were like, she's not Swiss. And she won by 1 point. Wow. And it changed her career, made her a big star. So,
wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That happens with the World Cup, too, where a guy's like, only like he was born in a certain country, but then he hadn't been there in 20 years. But then he can't get on in his own home country. So he goes plays for the other one.
Really?
Fascinating.
Cool stuff. I mean,
that's really cool. Thanks for bringing that in.
Oh, of course.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This one is a slight plug because I mastered this track.
Really?
It's my buddy's band in Austin. Your old stomping grounds. The band is called Wake Party.
Okay.
And they're great. And they just released this single.
Sweet.
Called Cowboy Killer. Here we go.
Ooh.
Nice start. Right there.
You hear that 1 dB on the chorus?
Oh, nice. Holy shit. I thought you were going to go 5 megahertz there. You went 3. That's a smooth mastering job.
Ooh.
Thank you.
I felt the big bottom. Yeah, I didn't lose the highs. Really, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, you heard the balance there and the frequencies and the little notches I took out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard some bad notes.
Kind of incredible at what you do, Brent.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I'm doing the same thing to your voice right now, and you don't even know.
Oh, thank you. Speaking of voice, who's the lead singer of that? The voice was unbelievable.
He's got a really good voice. I actually don't know the singer. I know the drummer. He's a old buddy of mine. We used to play music together. Great drummer. I'm totally impressed by the singer because I really believe singers just like make or break the whole thing. I like it, especially in like a rock band like that. You know, it's like it's so easy to sound like everything else or to just sound cringy or whatever. And he sounds
great.
That
sounded clean. It sounded live. It sounded immediate. I did.
It did. No, it did.
I mean, I love Austin. I'm rooting for those guys already.
Hell yeah. All right. Coming in at, what was that? Number two. All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Finally get to, H.M. Kramer's pick. This is Sebastian.
I call him, BNS Music Factory.
Let's get the hashtag trending, everybody.
Hell yeah. Belle and Sebastian. So in the moment. This came out 4 days ago.
Oh, cool.
Lime-colored leaves are bending and blowing in the springtime.
Whoa.
There you go.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, this is a great word for
it's like
it.
The Kinks.
Yeah, I feel like that too, or like that pre-psychedelic, before psychedelia came in, there was like that pre-stuff that was kind of jangly and stuff.
Right. It really reminds me, of the Kinks, of like Herman's Hermits.
Pre-design, if you know that.
But it's sophisticated. Like, how it would like change around and skip a beat here and there.
And also sounds so Belle and Sebastian. Unpredictable. They haven't lost their vibe at all.
That's really good.
And that was mastered by Start.
Yeah. Surprise. I mastered the whole chart.
No, that was good. I like that one. Check out the album if you get a chance. It's got some good tracks on it.
Ooh, they're so, I love them so freaking much. And it's, it's like when a great band that you love makes new music, there's always that moment of like, is this going to be good or am I going to have to be embarrassed for them? And
yes,
they sound incredible. Ah, great song. Great pick.
When did they like come out? Like, cause I think I missed the boat when they were first.
It was like when, what was that radio station that used to be out here? They were like
KCRW
it was like a commercial station that played. I don't know. That's a dumb reference, but I guess it was like, it feels like 12, 15 years ago, maybe that they had the height of their power. A fun, a quality band, for all the hype and everything.
Good stuff.
Hey, Oscar, does people know that you know this much about music or do you keep it under wraps or?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really talk about music
You know a lot. I mean, especially for someone related to comedy. I mean, you're upper echelon.
That is truly huge coming from you. I mean, you are literally the expert. So thank you.
I don't know. I didn't know about New Jeans.
Now you know.
Yeah. Now, this was really fun. Really great. Thanks for coming in.
What a treat. Remember, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Everybody also remember to check out Minx on Stars. And anything else you want to send them over to?
No, I mean, you can follow me on social media at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. All right. Start.
You can see Oscar and I make up songs together on Play It By Ear.
That's right.
Okay.
On Dropout TV.
Okay.
That was a ton of fun.
Really
and,
fun.
Hoping for like a season two there. And check out Comedy Bang Bang World, of course, and Who Charted Pod, where you can support this show and get two charted every single week, where Howard and I talk after the charts.
Yeah, we've been doing a whole slew of escape tunes, so check those out.
That's right.
Also check out Drop Day Duel and Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted?